Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in! You are tuned in to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army wives. Our life, our family, our soldier. Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army wives, by Army wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more. Now reporting for duty, your hosts, the AWN Core Team.
Hello. Welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network Core Team. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm your co-host, Betsy Raines. Today is Monday, August 21st, 2017, and this is show number 620. We're glad you're here to hang out with us tonight.
Tonight on AWTR, our featured guest is Becca Whittem, romance fiction author and Army wife. You can find Becca online by going to her website at beccawhittem.com. That's spelled BeccaWhittem.com, or connect with Becca on social media on Facebook at BW Author, that's spelled AUTHOR, or on Twitter at Becca Whittem. You can also find her on Goodreads and Amazon. Becca is giving away two copies of her latest book, The Promised Bride. The setting for The Promised Bride is in a booming frontier town where a heavenly match may be in store for mail order brides seeking a fresh start. This story is about women of strength and spirit who embrace the challenges of life and love on the wild Montana territory. If you like period romance fiction, you are going to love this book. Be sure to stay tuned to see if you're one of our lucky winners.
If you're listening to our show live, join our show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter. Comment on the show, ask questions of our guest, or just hang out and chat with the AWN Core Team. Head over to twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork and be sure to use hashtag ArmyWife to participate. We are also adding all the links mentioned in the show in the comments section below this podcast on Blog Talk Radio for you to easily refer back to and link over.
Tonight's show is brought to you by our AWTR show sponsor, MetLife. Military spouses do so much for their families. That's why they need life insurance. Enroll today. Learn more at militarybenefit.org or call 877-MBA-1020. That's 877-MBA-1020. Well, Betsy, hey girl, we haven't hosted together in a while. What's been going on in your world?
Well, we just recently sent my youngest stepson back home to mom after his summer visit. So it's always sad to see him go, but it was great that we got to spend some time together over the summer.
Oh, that's awesome. So how,
yes.
Do you mind if I ask how old your stepson is?
He is 16. So.
Oh, wow. So and so he spent the summer with you all, and is this the first time he's gotten to see your husband since he's been back from deployment?
No. We went back in May for my sister's wedding, but this was the first time he's come back down to Texas since my husband got back.
I'm sure in your world it doesn't seem like it's been that long, but in my world that is like, oh, he's been back that long. It seems like he just got back. So
I know. Yeah. Yeah. That with that whole ordeal and everything. Yeah. So, it's great to spend time with him again, especially because he, 16, he's at the age where he's branching out, wanting to spend more time with friends and everything. So that's always a plus. And it was a lot easier this summer because my husband is finally now officially retired. So he had some more time to spend with family and not, you know, running around like crazy with work.
Wow, that's right. So he's finally retired and I'd say gets to rest, but I'm sure he's got new plans on the horizon. So how's that transition going? Is he now officially out or is he in the process?
He is officially out. So right now we're just working through that transition period and figuring out what's next. What does he want to do with this next season of life?
Well, that's exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, so this summer has been pretty busy for us. It hasn't been exactly a relaxing summer vacation, but it's still been really great. But what about you?
So
what's
did
been
you
going
get
on
to...
lately?
I was going to ask you, did you get to see the eclipse today?
I did, yes. I actually forgot it was even today. And some of the people in my office were talking about it, and people were sharing some of the glasses, so I did get to see it. So were you able to?
No. I'm not sure. I think I had read somewhere that Hawaii might see like a quarter of the eclipse, but then it was cloudy here and we ended up having a pretty good downpour, so it didn't even get dark, not even a little bit, other than, you know, the cloud cover. So yeah, we didn't see anything. I watched it on NASA though, so that was kind of cool. And my favorite part though is seeing everybody post pictures of their glasses and having fun with that. And my sister posted pictures of the girls from her office that they had brought foil in. You know, they were having fun, so they brought foil in and made antennas. And so it's been it's neat to see how everybody had so much fun with that. So that was good. That was fun. So. And then other than that, we're just getting settled in our community and trying to get involved, you know, and meet people. And the kids already started school. I think it was the 9th when they started. They start early here, but they did get last Friday out because here they are out of school on Statehood Day. So they were happy to have a day off, and so... we went to this craft fair in Honolulu that I guess we were told by some of the vendors that people plan vacations around coming to this, I say craft show, but it's called Made in Hawaii. And so you have everything there. Quilters and photographers and artists, you know, who paint and food, lots of food. You know, all the island specialties and stuff, and just row after row after row of these long rows of tables. And so I had so much fun. My husband, not so much. Like, are you sure?
Is it a weekend?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. This is once in a lifetime.
Is it like a weekend event or like multi days or?
Yeah, it runs Friday through Sunday, and it's kind of in celebration of Hawaii becoming one of the 50 states, and so it's a three-day long, there's no school, and my husband was off that day, and so, you know, the way I enjoy spending any kind of time off and vacation is shopping. So that's what we did. I got some Christmas gifts. It was a great place to get some neat authentic Hawaiian-style Christmas gifts. And so I hope none of my family is listening because then they might have an idea. Well, I'm sure they know they're getting something from Hawaii. So. Well, Betsy, it looks like it's time for us to move on to our hot topics this week. Hot military family news. The National Military Family Association meets with Ivanka Trump to focus on military spouse employment challenges. The White House is talking about military spouse employment. White House senior advisor Ivanka Trump invited military spouses, including NMFA staff, scholarship recipients, and volunteers plus representatives from other organizations, to join her and White House staff, including Kellyanne Conway, on August 2nd for a roundtable discussion about military spouse employment. Ivanka and others heard about many employment issues, like the challenge military spouses face with portability of certifications and licensure, and the 16% unemployment rate working military spouses face when looking for a new job after a mandatory PCS move. To read more about this special roundtable discussion, head over to militaryfamily.org and look in the feature news section on the main page. We'll also be posting a direct link to the article in our Twitter feed this evening and in the comments section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com.
And hot on Army Wife Network this week, one of the best parts of being a mil spouse is all the friends we make along the military journey. Each new duty station brings about a new cluster of friends that we will never forget or never stop talking to no matter where the military sends us next. AWN experienced blogger Rachel Mata reflects on the different type of friends we make during our mil spouse lives. She makes a humorous list of the various types of friends we make, and after you read this list, you'll be able to name at least one of your friends who fits into these categories. To read Rachel's blog, The People That You Meet, and all of our other great blogs by contributors from all walks of military life, visit our blog section on armywifenetwork.com.
Oh, and that is a fun read. And it's AWN social media roundup time. So as you've kind of overheard and we've discussed some off and on, this summer our family embarked on our first ever Okona's PCS to Hawaii. And then as my husband and I were sorting through our household goods, trying to determine what would go with us, what would go into temporary storage, what would be given away or thrown away, we found ourselves unpacking boxes from previous moves that haven't been unpacked for several moves even. So just trying to prepare for the packers and to make sure that we had everything covered. And so it got me thinking. And just kind of in fun, I decided to post one of our hot graphics from earlier this year that read, "You might be a mil spouse if you are currently unpacking unopened boxes from your last move so they can get new boxes and stickers for your current move," which is exactly what we did. Can you relate? Have you ever done anything like this? Tell us about it by checking out our graphic on Facebook or on our Instagram page and share your story in the comment section. A link to this and everything we mentioned tonight will be posted in our Twitter feed as well as in the comment section below this podcast on Blog Talk Radio. So Betsy, can you relate to this? Do you have any unopened boxes from your last move?
Well, maybe... actually, yes, I have a few that got packed up and brought down here to Fort Hood, and we have been in this same house now for 5, and they are still not unpacked. most of them were, well, actually, I think everything is just sentimental stuff from college, like newspapers that I had contributed to, things like that. But yes, they're currently in the crawl space attic thing in our house, and I don't see them coming down anytime soon.
I know. I was so hoping when we moved to Texas, because we knew it was probably going to be a fairly short time that we were there, a year or two. And so I thought, you know, a lot of the stuff I don't use, I'm just going to keep it packed up, and then I won't have to worry about it. And normally I wouldn't have worried about it and just let the packers slap new stickers on them and load it up as is. But then Okona's was thrown into that, and temporary storage, which we never had to worry about before, it was just tucked away in our garage. And so... it was actually my husband's bright idea to go through everything, because why take anything we didn't need, which makes sense, but my thought was, let's just send it all to temp storage instead of trying to unpack it. But it turned out good, because there were some things I thought that I had lost or didn't have, you know, anymore that I found, pictures and stuff like that. It was good, but wow, that was a mess. But Thankfully, we're here, and we're still waiting on our household goods, and we'll see what I can do 3 years without. But all things that I'm now thinking I probably should have brought with me are sitting in temp storage. So it's all good. Well, it's time for our next segment. So, Betsy, will you tell us about our PSA this week?
Sure. Last but not least, it's public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit them to one per show and ask for them at least 10 days in advance. Send your PSA to info@armywifenetwork.com. Your eyes are the windows to your health. When was the last time you had them examined? Millions of Americans have common vision problems that can easily be corrected. Find a window of time to schedule an eye exam today. For more information, visit www.nei.nih.gov/healthy eyes. And that's it for our PSA. Coming up next after these quick commercial breaks is Jen with News 6, bringing you the Need to Know stories. We'll be right back.
The government spends billions of dollars to protect the country. Protecting your family starts at $250 a month. Find out about life insurance from Military Benefit Association. Learn more now.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details. It's time for the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Welcome back, listeners. We have our News 6 Jen on the line, bringing us your need to know news. Hey, Jen, what have you got for us this evening?
Hi, Crystal and Betsy. Tonight's news concerns results of a survey of military mental health care providers recently released by the RAND Corporation that raises concerns about gaps and barriers in delivering effective treatment to survey members.
Jen, can you tell us how many military mental health care providers participated and who commissioned the survey?
520 providers responded to the RAND survey. The survey was commissioned by the Defense Centers of Excellence for Psychological Health and Traumatic Brain Injury to assess the capacity of the military health system to deliver evidence-based care for PTSD and major depressive disorders and to recommend areas of improvement.
Now, Jen, you said the survey raised concerns about delivering effective treatment. Can you tell us what some of those concerns are?
One of the key concerns was the amount of time mental health providers are able to spend with their patients. Less than half of the providers that participated in the survey reported being able to see their patients diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder or major depressive disorder weekly. The remainder saw their patients every other week or even less often than that. The provider cited patients' difficulty in balancing their appointments and treatment schedules with their military duties, and not having enough time in their own schedules to see patients as often as they would like. Other concerns included the amount of medications being prescribed to PTSD patients. Providers responding to the survey reported that 84% of their PTSD patients were prescribed more than one medication, and nearly one-fourth were currently prescribed four or more medications.
Did the researchers who put together this survey have any recommendations on how to fix these concerns?
The recommendations offered by the researchers included military healthcare providers taking a look at the symptoms and effects of medication on their patients over a lengthy period of time. While most providers routinely screened their patients for PTSD and major depressive disorder, Only a little over half used a validated assessment to monitor their patient's symptoms over time. Researchers also recommended expanding the monitoring of treatment outcomes and to use that information to improve quality of care. The researchers recommended ways to maximize the effectiveness of psychotherapy training for the military healthcare providers and ways to reduce barriers to getting that training.
Jen, another great story. Thank you so much. Listeners, stay tuned after this short break for our interview with Becca Whittem, romance fiction author and Army wife. We'll be right back.
The Breastfeeding Shop is an authorized TRICARE provider for breast pumps and accessories, shipping to all of the USA and worldwide for TRICARE. The Breastfeeding Shop specializes in helping the military moms get the best breast pump possible and prides themselves in providing the best customer service possible, as well as a very quick turnaround time. Check out their easy-to-use online ordering form on their website at www.thebreastfeedingshop.com or call toll-free 866-255-6779. Also visit the Breastfeeding Shop on Facebook and check out the rave reviews from other moms at facebook.com/thebreastfeedingshop.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm your co-host, Betsy Raines. Tonight we have with us Becca Whittem, romance fiction author and Army wife. One day at work, Becca says she noticed an article in the newspaper about how the Army was so desperate for chaplains, they'd raised the age limit to 47. 15 months later, Becca was an Army wife at the ripe old age of 46. 10 months into her new life, she was facing a year-long deployment. Her husband made her promise that while he was gone, she would do something about all the stories she had written through the years. So Becca joined the local American Christian Fiction Writers Group in September 2010 and received her first contract in March of 2014.
When Becca's not writing, she's a faithful member of the Protestant Women of the Chapel, which is a Bible study and fellowship group that has become her place to find family away from home. In addition to writing, Becca enjoys singing, playing the violin, and paper crafting. You can see some of Becca's cards and other projects over at becca-expressions.blogspot.com. Welcome to the show, Becca.
Hi, it's good to be here.
Well, how are you this evening? And tell us a bit about yourself and where you're calling from.
Well, your intro covered quite a bit, so I'll just add that my husband and I are coming up on our 33rd wedding anniversary in December. We have two grown children, one son-in-law, and no pets or grandchildren or any of the other accoutrements that maybe you have at this point. We're currently at Fort Jackson in Columbia, South Carolina, which was supposed to have a, well, it did have a total eclipse today, but we have Nathan calls it a double eclipse where the moon covered the sun and the clouds covered the moon, so we didn't get to see much of anything. Although it was very cool, the sky got completely dark and it looked like sunset all around for a few minutes, so it was kind of cool.
Oh, neat, and congratulations on your wedding anniversary.
Coming up in December, yeah.
Wow, congratulations.
Thanks.
That's awesome. So, Becca, how did you go from closet writer to published author?
Well, that actually involves two different PCSs, one of which you touched on in the introduction. When my husband deployed and made me promise to join that writer's group, We were at Fort Carson at the time, and another Army wife, chaplain's wife, who was stationed there at the time, is also a writer. So we carpooled to the Colorado Springs chapter of ACFW, the American Christian Fiction Writers. They were putting together a local writing conference and needed volunteers, and as I'm sure you've experienced, volunteering is a great way to make new friends. So I went up to the chapter president and asked how I could help. We scheduled a time to meet her house, and she told me to bring my whip. And I'm thinking, what's a whip? And I thought this was a Christian organization. She must have read it on my face. Like, your work in progress? It was almost an embarrassing moment, but it was kind of interesting. Anyway, so I brought my story to her house, and this was a story I had been working on and off. I mean, not regularly and not really hard, but 10 years. And she just eviscerated it in like 3 minutes flat. I was head hopping and I was dropping in too much backstory, and I was doing this and I was doing that, but the killer was that I had figured out a way to get my hero and heroine together, and it wasn't historically accurate, and you can't do that. And I didn't know, because writing for fun and writing for publication are two very different things. So I tossed the whole story. And Kim was so impressed that I would be willing to do that she invited me into her critiquing group. And I spent about 3 years working with her on a Revolutionary War story, which finaled in it's called the Genesis Contest that ACFW puts on. It's a writing contest for unpublished writers. And just before we moved to Fort Sill, I found out that I had finaled. I was in the top three, and they announced the winner at their annual convention, which was being held in Dallas. So Fort Sill is, I don't know, what, 2.5-3 hours from Dallas?
Right.
And I thought, well, yeah, might as well go. But I thought maybe I could carpool with someone from the Oklahoma City or Lawton area. So I got on the ACFW email loop and said, hey, anybody in Fort Sill, Lawton, Oklahoma? And someone got back to me and said, you need to meet Gina Wellborn. So I forget if it was a phone call or an email, but we decided to meet at Starbucks. And it was one of those Anne of Green Gables, kindred spirit kind of moments. And I forget how long we sat there and yapped for, but we just had a really great time and then ended up meeting for the remainder of the time that we were at Sill at Starbucks at least once a week. And I'm telling you, we would spend 5 and 6 hours in the Starbucks. And one day we were sitting there and she got an email from her agent. And it said that Barber Publishing was putting out a call for submissions. And Gina basically badgered me into putting together a proposal. And that is how I got my first contract. So two PCSs, two friends that just got dropped in my lap. And here we are.
Oh, wow. And so that about the time that you won that, or you finaled in that and started going down to Dallas and met your writing partner was about the time I met you then, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
Becca and I actually go back a few years. So you and your writing partner, you kind of explained how you and Gina Wellborn met. Who was it that first thought that it would be a good idea to co-write a series together? Because that's pretty involved, and you've got to really think, you know, great minds have got to think alike here and be unified for that to be a good team.
Yeah, yeah. It was
this mail order bride's story was actually one that Gina had put together for a proposal that she was going to do on her own, and then she approached me. So this was all her idea to do the co-writing. And I'm really grateful that she included me in that. And you're right, it does take a lot, and you should hear some of the conversations that we have. It's just, it's crazy that she basically writes the female characters and I write the men. And that is how we handle this co-authoring project. There are a thousand different ways to do a co-authored project, but that's how we are doing it.
So it sounds like you each probably have your strengths when it comes to who you're writing. What are some of the struggles of co-writing with someone else?
We don't always see we get together and we do brainstorming, and we spend days brainstorming these stories. So what basically happened is we pitched a three book with three promotional novellas to the publishers. And we only did I think it was maybe a 5 to 7 page synopsis of the first story that was part of, you know, sitting at Starbucks and pounding this stuff out. And then when we got the contract, we had only done, I think, like two paragraphs, one for the middle story and one for the third story. And then for the novellas, all we had done was like, I don't know, a sentence or two. And so then we have to figure out the whole rest of the story. And so this publisher requires that we turn in a synopsis. I think if I remember my math correctly, it's like 8 or 9 months ahead of time. Maybe it's not quite that much. But several months ahead of time, we have to turn in a synopsis that basically says, okay, here's the whole story. And you don't try to hide any of who your villain is. You don't try to hide anything, because they have to figure out if you've thought this stuff through well enough to actually have a story. And they want to poke holes in your story before you spend months and months and months writing it. And then it gets turned in. They're like, yeah, this isn't going to work. You have to rewrite the whole story. So that's the purpose of the synopsis. So Gina and I just go, Gina is really, really good at character, and I'm better at plot. And so we have done this going back and forth thing where I'm always thinking about the plot and the suspense and the ongoing villain and how we're going to make this suspense thread work. And she's always on, but does it make sense for these characters to act this way? And so we have some, I wouldn't call them fights, but we have some very lively conversations about how things need to go. And it's been good for both of us. I have learned a lot from her about character motivation, and she's learned a lot from me about how to add suspensey elements into stories to add that layer.
Oh, wow. I had no idea that so much went into writing a novel, but you had mentioned earlier, and just out of curiosity, you had mentioned earlier that about making your books historically accurate, which is something that if I were to sit down and write something, which this isn't my forte, but I wouldn't even, you know, I would be basing it off of something I'd seen in a movie or something like that. How do you go about fact-checking and making sure that you've accurately wove history throughout your story but still maintain your characters and, you know, I mean, it's fiction, but to make it historically accurate?
You do a lot of reading of biographies, historical stuff that's in the library that
you know, basically when you pull it out, you blow off the dust because no one has read this thing for forever, and you praise your whoever it was who decided to start a historical society in the town that you're working with. So we actually, when we PCS'd from Fort Sill, we went up to Alaska, and it actually took us close to Helena, Montana. And at that time, we knew that this could possibly happen. We knew that Kensington Publishing was interested, but they hadn't signed on the dotted line yet. So I just said to my husband, let's take a couple of day detour up to Helena, because there's nothing like boots on the ground, to use an Army term, and to get to the city to see the topography, to go on the little trolley tour, to see what Last Chance Gulch looks like, all of that. And then at the end of the trolley tour, I asked the guide, it actually helps when you're a published author, you can say to them, I'm a published author, not I'm just, or, you know, I'm trying to get published. And people tell you things. It's kind of interesting. But anyway, I just asked if there was someone that I could email or talk to or call. And they gave me the name of Dr. Ellen Baumler, who is the she's not the president of the Historical Society. She's like, I don't know, she has a doctorate, and she's smart, and she knows everything about Helena. And she has been just a wonderful resource for us, because not even, I mean, you do a lot of research on the Internet, but the Internet is only as good as the people who wrote it. And surprise, surprise, they are not always accurate. So it has been great to have Dr. Baumler on our team, so to speak, to run some things past. All that being said, you do your best to stay as close to historically accurate as possible, but every once in a while you have to change things a little bit. I think in the promotional novella that came out in, is it June, Come Fly With Me, the photographer, the guy who is our hero, is basically a photojournalist. And he has a camera from Eastman Kodak, which we couldn't quite confirm would have been actually available to the public at the time of our story. And so we make a note that just says we wanted to give him this camera, and so we fudged it by, you know, maybe a year. And so you sometimes you play it a little loose, but if you do it knowingly, you need to put it in an author note that says this is where we played it fast and loose.
Oh, interesting.
So, Becca, is anything in your book or any of the works that you've published so far based on real-life experiences, or for the most part, is it stuff that pops up in your imagination, stuff that you see in other sources?
Everything an author writes is based on some sort of their own experience. I've never been a male or a bride, but as an Army wife, I have shown up in a new city without knowing anyone outside of, you know, my family. So you take the emotion of what you have lived, and then you amp it up, because hopefully you're putting your characters through more than what you've been through, but you just amp those emotions up, that you take what it is that you know. You've probably heard the phrase, write what you know. So that,
right,
for a historical writer, that would be what we're talking about. Clearly, I've never lived in 1880 either. So you just take mixing emotions and those experiences that we're writing about, we're trying to be, even though it's set in the past, as current as possible to make it relatable to our readers. So you just take what it is that you have lived through, and you use that to
to infuse emotion into your characters and make them relatable.
Well, I have to say, I'm so fascinated by how, I just didn't know that there was that, this kind of work that goes into writing a novel like this, that, I mean, you really do your research and really, it feels like you really kind of get into the story that you're getting ready to create. And so then it starts to just flow from you. But I kind of wanted to ask a fun question, you know, because we have seen this different books that have been made into movies. If you could cast your characters in a Hollywood adaptation of your book, who would play your characters?
You know, one of the things that Gina and I do is create Pinterest boards for every one of our stories. So if you find me on Pinterest, you will find the names of the, if the Promised Bride will have its own board. And you can see the characters that we have. And so for Amelia, we chose Emma Roberts. And the hero is Matthew Fox, who I don't know what he's done lately, but he was in Lost. But he's just Mac. He's just Mac.
Oh, honey. Now, where would we find your Pinterest board? Do you mind if, like, giving that to our listeners?
Oh, not at all. Let me see if I can. I think I'm just, you know, as long as you spell my name correctly, you can pretty much find me anywhere. I think I'm, like, the only Becca Whittem on Pinterest, but I'm double-checking my.
Yeah, so
oh,
I just
actually
looked it up.
Yeah, I'm actually on Pinterest. I'm 4 Becca W, so the number 4 BECCAW. But you'll see my, it's the same author picture that I have on my website. It's different than the one that I have on my Facebook page right now, but it's the same picture on my author website.
Some of us
that
love
picture, actually.
Pinterest, so this would be so fun to follow your board.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun to do it, too, and it's a joint board, so both Gina and I are pinning different things on the board. She's very, very detailed. I tend to be a little more paint with a little broader brush, and so I would say she's probably pinned 3/4 of the things that are on those boards, but it is pretty fun. It gives you a really nice overall view, and like I said, you can see the characters who we've chosen for the various characters.
So, Becca, you also kind of mentioned the names of your characters. How important to you are the names? Do you choose them more on the way they sound and flow, or do you look at the meaning of the names? What's your process?
You know, what, naming characters is probably the hardest part of the whole job. Sometimes I choose names because I like the way they sound. Sometimes I pull them out of thin air, and a lot of times I steal them from my Facebook feed. I mean, like, seriously, I go through and I'm reading them. I'm like, that's kind of a good last name. Yeah, we don't have any R last names, so let's we'll write that down. But whatever names we choose, particularly for the heroine, her first name has to sound good with his last name. So it needs to sound like when they get married that she's going to have a good last name and it's going to work with her first name. Now, Gina, 99% of the time she pulls names out of a census. And so she actually found Amelia in an 1880 census of Chicago, which is where Amelia in the story, where she's from and where she starts out. So we're different on how we choose the names. But Google is great for that kind of thing. You just type in the name of the city, the year, and the word census, and a lot of information pops up. So Google, yay!
How fun. Well, Becca, it looks like it's time for us to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about where your love for books and writing came from.
Okay.
Listeners, don't forget, if you're listening to our show live right now, the AWN core team is hanging out in Twitter chat. Join in the conversation and ask questions of our guests by going to twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork and use hashtag ArmyWife to participate. Be sure to click on the live tab to get real-time chat updates. And you can also find links to everything we've been talking about on the show tonight in the comments section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Operation In Touch offers special savings, coupons, and editorial content tailored to the lives of our active military families, providing useful beauty tips and recipes, as well as news and ongoing promotions. Operation In Touch is sponsored by Unilever and its brands, serving as a resource for American military families who serve this nation each and every day. As a member of Operation In Touch, you'll receive exclusive offers and savings on Unilever products you know and love. Registration is easy and free. Simply visit OperationInTouch.com to sign up today. And be sure to like us on Facebook.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Abdullah, and on behalf of the Army Surgeon General, this is your Army Medicine, Be As Healthy As You Can Be, Health Minute. The Performance Triad is a comprehensive plan to promote healthy sleep, activity, and nutrition habits among Army family members in order to improve health and wellness. Sleep is vital for health, performance, and well-being, and that is why everyone needs at least 7 to 8 hours of sleep per night. Physical activity is more than just exercise or working out. It is about living an active lifestyle. Choose activities you enjoy and focus on moving as much as possible throughout the day. Healthy nutrition provides energy, helps manage weight, and reduces your risk of chronic illnesses. Technology can help you achieve a healthier well-being. Army Fit and the Army Health app can help. For more information, visit the Army Public Health Command online at phc.amed.army.mil. Army Medicine, one team, one purpose, conserving the fighting strength since 1775.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed the live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the show. Tonight we're talking with Becca Whittem, romance fiction author and Army Wife. Before we jump back into our interview with Becca, she's giving away 2 copies of her latest book, The Promised Bride. So, Betsy, tell us, who's our winners?
Winners this evening were randomly selected from the entries on our Facebook giveaway post earlier today. And without further ado, Monica Cherie and Eve Dan, you have each won a copy of The Promised Bride, so congratulations. We will be contacting you after the show to get your mailing addresses so Becca can get your book sent out to you.
Congratulations. Now, let's get back to our interview with author Becca Whittem. Before we went to break, Becca, you are sharing some insight into your book writing process and how you choose names for your characters and such. Where did your love for books and storytelling, reading, writing, all that, where did that all come from?
You know, it actually started in Sunday school and junior church. I was always fascinated by the parables that Jesus told, how they were a story and a life lesson. But it was also the one subject I both enjoyed and was good at in school. My sister and brother are both much smarter than I am, but I could always figure out the theme of a story or see symbolism. And I loved what I was good at, and I got better at what I loved. And so I always loved to read, and I remember it was maybe fourth grade. The teacher started talking about onomatopoeia, words that sound like their meanings, things like buzz or snap.
or crack. And I just thought that was the coolest thing, that you could choose words to not only mean what has the right meaning, they actually sound like your meaning. And I don't know, my love affair with words just started there. So, like I said, I was good at it. I enjoyed it, and it just went from there.
That's a really cool way of beginning. That's an awesome story. Thank you for sharing that. Becca, what do you consider to be your best, your proudest accomplishment?
You know, the truth is there are only two things that I have ever wanted to be really good at, being a wife and being a mom. And my husband tells me I'm doing a pretty good job at first. And my kids at 29 and 31 are starting to think I didn't mess them up too badly after all, so I'll take it.
Well, what is the most important thing that people don't know about your subject and or genre that you feel they should know?
You know, I'm always surprised by how people think that life was so much simpler back in the good old days, and it's just not true. Anyone who's done any historical research knows that things might have been simpler in some ways, but they were much more complicated in others. Life is never better at one time than it is at another. And while I love the research, actually somebody asked me once, why do you want to write historicals? I'm like, because the costumes are so pretty. So, you know, the dresses, I think, are beautiful in, you know, in the 1800s and beyond, but I will take living in the here and now, thank you very much, with indoor plumbing and air conditioning in South Carolina, and that instant communication that allows me to see and talk to a deployed husband on the other side of the world. Yeah, I'll take, especially, and the medical care. I will take the medical care right now. Thank you very much.
Amen.
So when it comes to doing your research and everything, obviously sometimes we have to look up weird things, or, you know, your Google history might look a little odd. What is the weirdest thing you have had to Google for the sake of a story?
Actually, several of us who do suspense writing have things in our office that say, you know, when I die, delete my Google history.
Yes.
I think the weirdest thing I've Googled are, well, how to kill someone without leaving a trace using poisons available in, I don't know, 1865. And I think I Googled how to make a bomb with things available in 1880. And it is distressingly easy to find that kind of information.
Wow, I had no clue that you could find that stuff. Okay, that's mind-boggling. I'm curious, do you happen to come from an Army or a military family background?
You know, I don't. My father and my father-in-law were both in the military, but they were for very short periods of time. So I grew up in one city, and only one move was from one part of the town to another. So from fourth grade on, I went to school with many of the same kids, so no, not a military background. However, my son is an Army officer, so we're pretty hoo-ha now, but not growing up.
Hoo-ha.
So I want to also add about talking about the Googling thing. Back in the day with LiveJournal, I remember that there was a specific group for people to ask those really weird questions that you don't want in your browser history. But if you scrolled through the blog, it was just really not, like, appropriate questions, but things that you needed to know for research for your books. It was always an interesting read. Just had to throw that out there because I thought of that as we were talking about that.
I don't know that site, and I'm not sure I want it.
Yeah, some weird stuff on there. But anyway, Becca, for you, what is the hardest part about balancing being both an Army wife and all that entails and an author as well?
When you're PCSing from Alaska to South Carolina and have a big, hairy, fire-breathing deadline, yeah, that was not fun. But I survived. So it's, you know, really, other than the fact that I work from home and have to set my own office hours, I'm no different than every other working Army wife. There are times that I need to ignore my life for work and times when I have to ignore my work for Army responsibilities. Like a few weeks ago, the Chaplain Corps celebrated its birthday. It was within days of that big, hairy, fire-breathing deadline, but you know, I pulled up my big girl pantyhose and went to the ball, and we met the deadline. So it's deadlines are really the hard part. That I don't know that being an Army wife would make that any better or worse. They're just deadlines.
Right. It's kind of a life, and so you've got to balance that with everything else that's going on in your life. And so out of curiosity, you know, you as an author, you write quite a bit of, you know, you write period pieces that are in the past. Putting on maybe your author glasses and seeing into the future, where do you see yourself in 10 years?
My husband tells me I have that long to become such a success that I can support him in the style to which he would like to become accustomed. We'll see how well that goes. Honestly, I'd like to publish something that's not a collaborative project at some point. So I'll be putting together some proposals for my agent in the next few months. But until then, Gina and I have two more stories to write in this Montana Bride series, which we will be brainstorming in October. The second set of stories, which we just turned in, comes out in June and August of 2018, and then this third set that we still have to write will be out in May and July of 2019. So I have still quite a bit on the plate that I have to look at now, but in the future, it's mine. But I'm not in any big hurry to stop writing with Gina. We do make a good team.
That's awesome. I definitely think with the fact that you're not in a rush to get there, it takes a lot of the pressure off of you, and you'll just kind of let it play out, let it happen as it happens.
Yeah.
Becca, where can our listeners go to learn more about you and purchase their own copy of The Promised Bride?
I have several social media accounts, which once this latest deadline is completed, I plan to learn how to use well. But if you really want to keep up with me, the best place is on my paper crafting blog at becca-expressions.blogspot.com. I have links to my most current books on the sidebar, as well as a link to my author website under the header picture. If you want to know about all of the books that I have, my author website is BeccaWidom.com. Again, you just have to spell Widom correctly. Most people look at it and see Whitman, but it's actually Witham, so just W-H-I-T-H-A-M, and there's a page with links to all of the books. I have a personal and an author page on Facebook under Becca Widom or Becca Widom-author, I think, which will be easy to find as long as you spell my name correctly. And then as far as The Promised Bride, it's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, so it'll be anywhere that Zebra books are sold. It's Kensington Publishing, but the imprint is actually Zebra Publishing. So anywhere you find those, you should be able to find The Promised on the 29th, a week from tomorrow.
Congratulations. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you, Rebecca.
This has been so fun. I have to admit, I've had to mute myself a few times because you had me rolling, as you usually do when we chat. So, thank you so much for coming on this evening and being our guest and sharing about your new book and kind of how you develop and research your books. It has been so great talking to you.
It's been great to be here, and I look forward to getting these addresses for Monica and Eve so that we can get them their books.
We'll do. We'll gather those up and send them your way. Thank you so much. Have a great evening.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Listeners, thank you for tuning in. Join us next week, August 28th, 2017, when our featured guest will be Amanda Bunt discussing Spartan Extreme Sports Racing. It's going to be another great show. You don't want to miss it.
In the meantime, join us on www.armywifenetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors, or follow along on any of our social media outlets, including Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
Interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's core team signing out.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.